Amen. All right. Well, good evening. It's good to come before you. Welcome those of you who are joining us by live stream. Amen. It's good to be reminded that we're not just gathered together to carry out some religious ritual, but we are gathered together in the presence of God so that God's will can be done. Amen. Sometimes things happen and you just want to kick yourself. And as Brian was up Sunday and delivered the message that he gave, and I was encouraged by it, I wanted to kick him. Wow. As he stood up here and thanked Pastor Jim and honored him, because you know when somebody gets a good idea before you do it? Now, I didn't think about it before he did it, but when he did it, I was like, man. That was awesome, brother. I thank you for that, and man, I wanna echo that. Man, I have been in and around Pastor Jim since I was in high school, but God called me here after '93 when He saved me. I was like, well, I gotta go somewhere where they're teaching the word. I was in a church, and people loved God, but I remember it, man. They taught the word there and came here, and He began to pour into me, and I'm thankful. As the fruit that has been in my life is definitely attributed to His faithfulness in what God shared through Him. And man, my first messages were taken right from His pages. I said, well, I got to go tell somebody this stuff. And they say, man, you are amazing. And I said, thank you. No, I tell them, but you got to come hear this white man, boy. He can eat me. It's something else. I just caught it like I see it, but I remember sitting in his office when we were talking, and he was sharing some things with me, and he asked me, he said, well, what's your favorite verse? And I was too embarrassed. I don't have a favorite verse. I was like, this man of God asked me that. I should have something, right? I need to have something. And so I think I had just gone through the passage. He probably remembers. It talked about the parable of the sower. And I just, man, the parable of the sower. And he looked at me, and I was like, oh, God, I think I said the wrong thing. And, man, and he broke that down. I said, look, I mean, I obviously different things, but that shapes me and how I minister. But he said, look, man, he said, you know, you've chosen well. And I was like, God, chosen well. He said, but what he pulled out of it was, he said, within these passages, Jesus told the disciples that if you don't understand these parables, you're not going to understand any parable. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you know, did you see that? And I was, you know, you kind of don't want to answer because there's more going on up there than you realize. And he said, John, within these passages, he said, this parable right here is the key for understanding everything else. And I was like, where did you say that? And he unfolded the word to me and said, you know, and he taught me, if you're going to relate with God, you got to dig beyond the pages. And those are my first steps toward relationship with God. That's why I love the word. I don't look at it as the Bible. I look at it as, okay, this is my time with God, and God reveals things to me. That's the glory of our Christian walk. The Bible says God is not far from us. He's right here. You don't have to go on a quest. You don't have to go climb 10 mountains or do all these great things. It says He's right here, even in your heart, as close as your mouth. Just speak out. That's the God that you serve. But you got to reach out and engage Him. Right? Tonight, what we'll talk about is being fulfilled in God. What a terrible thing to walk this Christian walk, to live this Christian life, and be discontent. You know, I mean, we can look around and, you know, you see some empty seats and myriad of reasons why and things like that. Really doesn't matter to me. Pastor Jim allows me to sit in the front, so I don't see who's not here. But you know, sometimes things can happen and people say, well, I'm not getting what I thought I would get. You know, you get saved, you get excited, and you start doing things, and then after a while, things kind of slow down and, you know, it's, why am I really doing this? And you use the passion, you know, and that's never what God intended. You know, if you start coming just so you can fulfill all the quotas, you're going to miss it because that's not God. You know, if you're singing because, well, you know, I need to do something, then you'll miss it. And there'll be one Thursday, you'll be tired, and you'll decide not to go because you're forgetting why you're going. You know, not that you won't get tired. I can be tired. I mean, I have not attained to the wisdom of the man of the house reaching toward that. But there's something within him. He's so passionate that even when his body is less than what it should be, and I don't say that he feels sick, but he gets attacked, he feels the commitment to be here anyway. Now, I'm not saying if you get attacked that that's what you should do. I'm saying I'm looking at the examples. There's something within him that says, no, even with a less than packed house, even if he didn't get paid this week, he said, I got to be there. That's not because that's in his job description. There's something passionate that moves him to do that. That's the relationship that God seeks with you. He's an amazing God. The depths of his grace, this is Paul tries to get to us. He said, man, he's lavished his grace upon you. I mean, he didn't hold anything back. He didn't hold anything back. But what he was doing, he's trying to draw us. And, well, if there's more to it, it's not just, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. If there's more to it, well, show me where the door is so I can go through that door and get to enjoy that. That's where the fulfillment is. God's not shallow. But what he's done is he said, I'm going to set something before you and you're going to have to go after it. Let me give you this one, not in a lesson. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. I wrestle with that. What in the world does that mean? Kingdom of heaven suffering violence. You know, I'm picturing WWE, Hulkamania. You know, you got the kingdom of heaven, the location of where the kingdom rests, but then the kingdom of God, which abides, rests, rule, and abides in our heart. But that's suffering, the onslaught of the attacks of this world, the principles of the world, the images of the world, those things that try to keep you from fully becoming whom you are. And then the word that tripped me up was violent. The violent take it by force. And Ken taught a lesson. He was teaching about finance. Remember you talked about, he showed the scripture where it says, cast your bread upon the water and then after many days. And Ken asked a question, said, well, what if you don't cast your bread out there? You can't get nothing back if you don't, you know. And another way to say that in our vernacular, they say, well, you got to put your hat in the ring. You got to put your hat in the ring in order to participate with what's going on. If you want the things of God, you're going to have to not necessarily be violent, but you're going to have to be a go-getter. You want the things of God, you're going to have to reach out, go get it, and make it yours. Not because it's not yours, but in this relationship, God's getting you to grow up. You're going to take a step toward what he's giving you. Does that make sense? You can't be passive. Does that make more sense? You can't sit back and say, okay, Lord, do it. You know, those are miracles which do happen. But the Bible says that we are the sons of God are led, not pulled. Not pulled, led. So if you're led, that means you're shown the way. You're inspired to walk the way. But then you make the determination to obey, to follow. I'll give you another example before we get into this. So just chew on this. I'm on this word today. Nietzsche kind of gave it to me. I'm giving you tools to put in your toolkit. Toolkit so you can work on things. Somebody shared this with me, so I have not verified this, but take it with you. This has to do with leading sheep. And he said there is a difference between the way the Eastern people lead sheep in the Western. Now, we went to a play, that's why they brought it up. And in the play, they got to the part where, well, they'd have a shepherd and a sheep going through to kind of relate it with Jesus. And he'd go through and he's driving these sheep and, you know, and it's supposed to be, you know, again, equated to Jesus or whatever, but he's driving the sheep and the sheep are running around, leave me alone, you know, and they're running around and he's driving them out. And his person said, that's not the way that they actually lead sheep. And he said, the way they lead sheep in the Eastern, he says, is they get familiar with the sheep when they're young. And when it's a young person that they're training, they give them a young one, and they put him in there, and he sings to the sheep, and he gets familiar with the sheep. And then when it's time for him to step into shepherding, he steps out the tent, and he starts to sing. And the sheep that is familiar with him follows him out because he's familiar with the voice. God's not the God that's driving you into prosperity, but he is leading you. But you got to step that way. He's not driving you into your emotional freedom. He's saying, don't worry about those things that happened in your past. You're a new you. I've empowered you. Come on and step up to the security that you can find in me. And we're crying, screaming, God, God, it hurts. He's like, I know, leave it behind. But no, if I leave it behind, who will empathize with me? No, grow up and experience the fullness of what God has given you. Everybody, no matter where you are. Fulfillment. God desires for you to be fulfilled. John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have no idea why insurance they call disasters an act of God. No. When somebody wins the lottery, that should be an act of God. Something good coming into your life. Something destructive or harm comes, it's not God. My wife laughs at me, this preacher comes along. I have never watched him or whatever, but he has this one thing that I love. He says, man, God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. But God is a good God. You know, we'll get into some trouble in our life and, oh, man, I just don't know why that happened. Maybe God is teaching me. Like, And I used to be harsh with people, you know, again, have to be around him for a while. And he kind of rubbed some of those edges off. You know, quit being prideful. You got problems. You know, people like to be soft with the problems that they share and then harsh on things that other people struggle with. It's not the way it is in God. Let's encourage everybody with wherever they are. Man, where was I going with that? I know he shared, get over problems. Well, God loves you. I'll come back to it. God's a good God. Devil's a bad devil. When trouble comes, look at it the way you're supposed to. All right, this is trouble. This is not God. This is not God trying to teach me something if it's trouble. Because God can teach us from his word. Amen? Now, you can be taught in your trouble. Not saying that. I get this from when I first got saved. You know, I got committed my life to God. I was good. I was like, man, all right, let's get this. Let me learn. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, I wanted to be married. I wanted to be with women. But for that period, no women anywhere. They are evil. Jezebel. You know? But, you know, I was going to break that off. I just wanted God. You know, I'm following this man. God, he glows when he talks. I want that. You know, but that's not some people's experience, though. Some people, when they get saved and, oh, my gosh, I'm happy. But my boyfriend, he's still a heathen. No, 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 all day. I'm like, dump that brother. You know, you need to grow. You know, boyfriend, girl. I won't go through my boyfriend, girlfriend philosophy. Anyway, to me, there's no real commitment there. But anyway, they felt they need to save this person. And then as inevitably would happen, as they are trying to move forward, something would happen with this boyfriend that would trouble them, right? He's one sex, they're trying to follow God and they don't do it, or they give in, then they feel guilty, and then something happens, the relationship breaks up, and it's, oh my God, God, why did you let this happen? Right? Because, I mean, matters of the heart are hard. That's real pain, emotionally. Okay, let me dial that back a little bit. That's not a pain that God wanted you to experience. That's not him. But emotionally, though, we don't know why he let this happen. You with somebody that beat on you, that's not a situation that God wanted you to be in. But you have to hear him, right? We have to make real decisions so that we can enjoy what God has. My point is, I didn't like it when people said, well, God put me through this so that I could learn something. No, you got yourself there. Now, you can learn from that situation. Hopefully, it's don't go back in that situation. He put his hands on you again, pack an iron, hit him in the night, and leave. But that's, again, I'm saying that because that's something that's everyone, but the trouble that we're in, don't say, well, stay there and we're like, well, what is God trying to teach me? Let's leave that and go pursue what God has for. Not get into condemnation because we're there. Let's just get up and leave. Let's go to where the joy is and be blessed. Who cares why you're there? That's what I learned from him. Who cares? You got there. I give you a situation you don't even know about. We got into a situation at the ministry I was in, and two people got into sin, and they were scared to tell me. I'm over here preaching, like, you know, what I learned. So they were like, all right, we're going to have this meeting, and this happened. So I'm sitting in there, and they're like, all right. And these two people are, you know, they're embarrassed and whatever. And so they get there and say, okay, well, you know, let's go through it and so y'all know, because we're trying to determine if we're going to make them leave. And they said, okay. And I said, stop. And I was like, what? I was like, look, I don't need to know what they did. And I got that from my pastor. Said, look, people that try to hear your sin, they just trying to enjoy what you did, and they're mad because they can't do it. This is what he told me. Did you not tell me that? It's what he told me. He said, that's a fruitless exercise. Get past that. So we want to help these people. So he just wanted them to share what they did. Stop. I said, you know what they did? And he said, yeah, that's enough. I said, you know what happened. He's the leader of the organization. I said, if you believe that that's not going to affect them being effective, then I'm okay with them staying. If you think they need to go, I'm behind you. I don't want to hear what they did. Let's cover them. And everybody else was looking at me because they wanted to hear what was going on. Then they're like, oh, well, you know, but I'm just. But we cover, I'm just trying to get to the real part with that stuff. Let's just leave that behind. Let's get into, you know, now if you need to have private session with pastor and you need to share that, then that's different. But what God is interested in is you growing and maturing and being fulfilled, which is what we're supposed to be talking about, being fulfilled. But obviously we're sharing that so that God can help someone elevate and grow and involved, all right? All right, so in you being fulfilled in God, we're gonna cover a couple of things, be real quick, and hopefully what I'm looking to do is getting you to be more productive in your Christian walk. So we're going to show you how that's related to you being fulfilled. And then kind of show you how meditation and productivity works with that, if we can get there. Because I want to get to gifts and stuff. So John, which was the other part, that's where I was supposed to go. I was supposed to talk about pastor and then go to John, because this one, John, John 15 was the next area. It's talked about the vines, where Jesus says, I'm the vine. That pastor broke down to me. What I'm interested in is this nugget that he drops in here. Let's see if I think I rested. John 15, 11, where he says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. He said, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you, my joy, the kind of joy that I have, and then that your joy may be full, or that your joy may be complete. In a different translation, it's complete. So we're talking about a joy that's not lacking anything. He doesn't want you to have an imperfect type of joy, a flawed joy. The joy is something where you're exuberant, you're in a kind of like a state of happiness, but you know, this is that side. And he's recognized, he said, well, he says that yours can be kind of incomplete. To give you an example, let's say your mom and dad, when you were young, told you, all right, I want you to stay in, don't want you to go to the party. But you decide you really need to go to the party. And so mom goes to sleep, mom, dad goes to sleep, you sneak out to go to the party. And okay, we'll flash forward to this time, because it used to be a time you snuck out or whatever, you weren't going to hear about it until you got back. And this time, since we got the phone, you get a text from mom, dad saying, can't wait till you get home. right when you're in the middle of your, you go, yeah, ooh. And you know that when you get back, that it's about to go down. Now you're in a place where you can, you, everybody's excited, you know, woo, we having the crazy fun. But you can't really enjoy the fun now because you know when this is over, you know, so I'm talking like that, like, well, I'm supposed to be having fun, but that's not a full joy. So you see where that would be a problem in Christianity if you don't have, so what he's doing here is he's saying, okay, you need to see what's about to happen from my perspective so that you can have my joy that's going to carry. Now, he's telling them that if 14 and 15, this is before he's about to be crucified. So he's been teaching, he's been modeling, discipling, he's about to leave. And he goes into this, look, I'm about to leave. Remember, they're like, where are you going? Remember, he says, are you not getting it? I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be crucified. Why are you telling me to be crucified? And remember, Peter, no one's going to, you know. Said, no. I'm telling you this so that when it happens, you'll remember that I told you. But he wants them to remember the other things. Better that I go away. When I go away, the comfort is going to come. You're in a better position. I mean, he's preparing them for all these things. But that part is what I want to drop to, because he said, I want my joy to be in you, which means get your eyes off of what you're about to see and look at it from my perspective. Because if you look at it from his perspective, what he was going through was necessary for what was going to happen, what needed to happen. But if we're focused on the right now from our perspective, we may miss out on what God is doing. Yeah. Now watch this, because he hints at it in a different verse. But the key is God's desire is for you to have a complete and full joy. In order to get that joy, you need to view things from his perspective, which is almost like the foundation for our ministry. Is getting you to see things, not how you're used to seeing it, but getting you to see it from God's perspective, all right? Pastor's teaching people faith. That's what God called him to. But he said, look, faith through knowledge is what leads to truth. The knowledge is going to be the God knowledge. So we're going to think about things differently. All right, so the first thing is in getting that full joy, looking at things the way God looks at them, he's going to call them here. What's going to be pointed out is that God called each and every one of you, each one of them, to be fruitful. Remember, Brian pointed that out when he was dealing with going back to original intent. God said, be fruitful and multiply. I would almost add a word, not add a word, but another word for clarity is he intended for us to be productive. Look at John 15 and 1. Watch this. It's in that same mindset, but he's teaching this, right? John 15, 1. Watch what he leads out with. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But look, he says bear fruit. Watch this, how many times this points out. That does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So the goal there, God is pruning the fruit, so the branch so that it bears fruit. The goal is to bear fruit. 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you bear fruit. He's repeating this over and over. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is the second important part, and the need to remain, to abide in God. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You know what that is? Bear fruit. And so he didn't say bear fruit. He said, ask whatever you want, and it's going to be done. The purpose of the asking, let's continue, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear fruit. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. The purpose of God was to glorify himself in the Son, and now that gets reflected in us. The Son is glorified in us. If the Son is glorified, the Father is glorified. But in order for the glorification to happen, you have to bear fruit. That's important. Be productive. He points out that the branches that don't bear fruit burn. Matter of fact, he says, my Father is divine dresser. He's going to come in. He's going to clean stuff. He's going to clean stuff. But the reason why he's cleaning stuff, the stuff that is bearing fruit, he's going to take the stuff away so that it can even bear more fruit. So the goal here is for you to bear fruit, or you to be productive. God did not call you. He does not want you to be a part of this body and to not be productive. You're here. You're in the body of Christ universally, and in this one locally, to be productive. Without productivity, you cannot be fulfilled. That's the key. Usually, if I'm not being fulfilled, it's because I feel like I'm useless, or I feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or I don't know my own identity. And so everything's coming around. I'm doing a lot of different things, but nothing's kind of hidden here in the center. It's like a fish out of water. Fish out of water, it's not, you know, it's kind of laying on it, the mouth is open. It's not where I'm supposed to be. You know, God, we get, you know, God, I'm going to be in the praise team. You get up there, you're like a fish. It's not where I'm supposed to be. Whatever. I mean, you can be up here preaching, which is where everybody wants to be, right? Because this is the focus. Be up here, fish out of water. Not being productive. Who determines if you're productive? Right? The Father. Why? Because the Father is the one that engineered and designed you. If Mr. BMW, which I don't know who created BMW, had in his mind to fashion this great car with speed and, you know, turn corners, and then you get in that car and you go get in the dirt and you go try to move boulders, Mr. BMW is not going to be happy, because that car is not designed to move boulders. It's designed to go fast, tick off cops. You were designed for specific things within this body, because God knew you would be here to grow and mature. And so there are certain things that he's gifted you with, talented you with, that will be beneficial and effective for this body. And in doing those things, you become productive. And you will be fulfilled. And we all get to grow and enjoy that. But outside of that, you're doing other things. You're ushering when you should host. You're hosting when you should usher. You know, you're in a parking lot when you should be book selling. You know, whatever. I'm saying those things. But if you're not doing what you're designed to do, you're not fulfilled. Then nobody's happy. Because then you're probably doing what you're doing with a bad attitude. Or you're missing meetings, skipping meetings. I'm just talking about the local church now. But the reason why you're not happy is because you're not doing what God gifted you to do. And if you're not doing what God gifted and you do, your gifts and talents cannot be expressed. And so you're going, you see what I'm saying? But that's not what God intended. God intended for you to be fruitful, productive. That's what I'm trying to get at. Let me give an example, Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Write that down. It is the parable of the talents. Watch this, how he drops this in here. See, he's coming back to it in John 15. Matthew, he says, let me tell you about this parable of a master owner who's going to go away, gets his servants, slaves, and servants, and says, look, all right, I want you guys to just do business when I go away. One of those five talents, three talents, two. Whatever denomination you want to get. One goes out, takes five talents, makes it 10. Other one goes out, takes the two talents, makes it 4. Last one goes out, says, nah, man, this ain't right. this brother is trying to Obama us. He's, I'm gonna bury this. He can get his stuff back. Master comes back. Person comes back, says, hey, took your 5 talents, made 10. Good job, faithful servant. You were productive. Thank you, Master. Appreciate that. Give him some more stuff to be responsible over. Pretty fulfilled. Next guy comes in, took 2, made 4. Notice he didn't say, took 2 and made 10. Took 2, made 4. Whatever denomination. Say, hey, good job. You're productive. Give this man some more stuff to be responsible over. He gets to enjoy in his master's bounty, fulfilled. Last one. Hey, hey. See, I knew you wasn't right. You reap where, you know, the Bible says, you reap where you have not sown. This is Bible stuff, what Wall Street is, taking other people's money, making money with it, and giving them back. All the stuff's in the Bible. But anyway, he said, you reap where you have not sown. That ain't right. So I buried your stuff, and here it is, just like you left me with it. And notice the master said, man, you're lying. You're a lazy servant. That's what he said. He wasn't even happy you got his stuff back. He said, no, you're lying. We didn't call him a liar, interpreting that. But he did not agree with his assessment of what he did. He said, you're lazy. He said, let me prove you. He said, if you did understand that, and you knew I reap where I didn't sow, why didn't you take my stuff and give it to the bank so that I at least could have got interest? You were not concerned about doing what I told you to do, so you were lazy. Now, out of all three people, he was not upset that the one that had 2 did not make 10. Didn't care about that. Didn't ask them how they did it. Didn't say, did you do it like he did it? They took what they had, were creative with it in their own way, and produced. The one that he was upset with is the one that didn't even do what he was purporting to do. He said, you at least had enough sense that I wanted some money back on what I gave you. Why didn't you take it to the bank? You're lazy. That's an unfulfilled life. You've got something, but you're not even using what you got. That's who he's upset with. Take his portion, give it to the other two, get this man out of my property. God intends for you, and he's serious about it, to be productive. He's so serious, he's not even making you come up with your own stuff. He's gifting you with stuff to be productive. But in the productivity, you're going to be fulfilled. But I just want to see, he wants you to be productive. He called you to be productive. Well, why is it important to understand that he called you? Because whatever God calls you to do, he commissions you to do, he equips you to do it. So you don't have to be afraid about doing it because he's going to equip you to do it. All right? So productivity leads to fulfillment. But I'm not just saying doing anything. You understand? Doing what God gifted you to do is going to bring about the fulfillment that you're looking for in God. God didn't just call you to be a bump on a log. He said, but I'm not doing anything right now. If you're not doing what you would like to be doing right now, it's because of a couple of different things. Either you don't understand what you're supposed to be doing because you're young in the Lord and not hearing God and walking out in that. And that's okay because you're in a place where you can grow. But grow and mature so that you can get to that. Because the fulfillment is not in the studying and reading of pages. That's not where your fulfillment is. You can know all the books in the Bible. You can read all the books we have back there. You're not going to be fulfilled with that. There may be some enjoyment in that. Well, unless you're one of the bookkeepers. Then, you know, that's different. But that's not where your fulfillment comes. Your fulfillment is going to come in your relationship with God. Well done, good and faithful servant. But you don't get the well done and good and faithful servant if you're not doing what you're supposed to be faithful in. Does that make sense? Okay, so the productivity is going to yield fulfillment. So I need to understand. I'm called to be fruitful. So God's gifted me with something. Watch this. All right, I'm gonna marry together, meditating in the Word, spending time with God, and your productivity. Watch how this works. I think John 15:1. Go back to that. Oh, yeah. This one he dropped on me today. I'm the vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. look at all this that's in here. The note that I put down is you got to cooperate with the vine dresser. Now, the part that I'm going to get to is the good vine producing fruit. Because you get saved, and you get out there, and you're like, yeah, right. You know, you're happy and excited, and that's one level. And then God starts moving you to a different direction. Or there's some things that are in your life that are making you less productive. And God begins to work on that. You have two responses. You can say adios to that, let that go, because the vine dresser cuts away. Now, you can talk to Pastor Jim about vine plant stuff. You talked about the lemon tree, the tree that has the lemon and the oranges, and bind them together. This is the vine dresser working, you know, making something. But I'm saying that even if it's bearing fruit, something in your life you feel is productive or good for you, God may come in and say, you know what, that's enough of that, because that's not getting you where I need you to go. And at that point, you have to allow that to be removed from you, whether it's a bad habit that he's dealing with at this time. Remember when we're talking about the inner man and images, he may come in at this particular time and deal with a certain experience that you had in your past that's going to keep you from being productive. And at this point, this is the key juncture, because that's the stronghold that rises up that says, no! And you have to be ready through the word to deal with that. Or, like I said, it may be moving to a different direction. I'll give you an example. Got saved, God? I'm reading these books pastor's giving me. oh, my God. Remember we had the book in here, He Came to Set the Captives Free? Man, I tore through that. I don't think pastor even has that in here anymore. But I was like, whoa, I want to fight the devil. Like, he done had it in here. I'm pouring through stuff. Well, let's do it, man. And I'm on campus. Lord, if you want me to leave school, I will leave. I'm going to go preach to somebody. And he said, no, stay in school. And I got an opportunity to work at this youth camp that they had on campus. Camille did it. She brought me in. I was like, all right, man. And I brought some of those kids to church with us. I mean, I'm sitting here, man, and I'm preaching to them. And I mean, I had kids coming out. There's a devil outside my window. Well, lock the window. I mean, we were working, man. We were seeing stuff happen. Boy, we went to this camp, and there was a girl in that group. Her parents were a family or coven, pastor knows, of witches. And she was being groomed to be a witch, the whole dedication thing. I don't understand all that. Pastor knows if you want. I'm not getting into that. I'm into the Lord. But that she, you know, witches and all that. And she had gotten saved through Camille, and she's going to these Bible studies. Well, anyway, we were coming through, walking through the mall, and the kids are coming out. We let them see a movie. I wasn't even in there watching a movie. I'm reading stuff, studying the Word, and come out with kids. So we walk through this thing, and there's a band out there. You know, this is the Meth Mall UGL. So this band is playing, that music. You know, music is music for people, but anyway. So she got freaked out, man. She's like, and they were like, what's going on? She said, man, that music, it's calling stuff that I remember when we were doing those satanic rituals. And she was like, so they're like, oh, man, what are we going to do? I said, so he came to set the captives free. I said, man, don't worry. I'm going to do stuff, man. So we took her, we got the kids and things, and we took her to the office. And they're like, well, I said, man, I just put it down. That's when I'm yelling the Lord's, and I'm yelling, you know, at the devil. I'm like, devil, you take your hands off. You know, I'm excited, boy. You know, I just spoke with authority. Take your hands off this girl, you know. And I laid hands on her, man, and she was and she fell back. First time I laid hands on somebody, they fell back. I was like, Pastor Jim. You know, I was like, yo, it broke off. You know, so she laid down, and she came, and she was so peaceful, so different. And I was like, man, I was not a minister in the church. I was nothing. I was just like, he came to set the captives free, you know. And I loved it, you know, and just witness to kids, and great, wow, you can. I was going next summer. Next summer came, and the director pulled me aside. I said, hey, John, wanted you to come back. Because, you know, I was great. I had, like, the worst kids. But when I was there, my kids were in line. I had them walking in line like this. They tell me, John, when you gone, man, your kids are, like, on the table, like, ah! And I come, they got a book, and he's, yes, sir. I like, drilled them, boy. I love those kids. And so they want me to come back. He said, but if you come, I'm going to make you promise not to talk about God. Now, the reason why he did this is because of Pastor Jim. Because the year I took the job the first time, Pastor began to teach me, look, when you take a job, you're making a promise to them to do the job. You don't go there and use your work time to study the Bible. You do what you hired to do. This is when I first started learning integrity. I'm trying to tie all this back so you can see how there are things that God puts in you that then works for you later. So this is integrity. So he knew that. And I was telling him, look, man, because he got in, I was bringing people to church, right? But the other counselors got mad because all the other kids would stay there. And they're like, it's not enough counselors. You know, where John and they go, hey, church, you know, and we come back. So he's like, all right, we're going to stop this. And so he was like, he's trying to stop it. And I was like, hey, man, I told you when I took the job, because I had to have integrity, I needed to go to church. And so, and he agreed to that. So, as long as you, so he's like, he tried to change it up in the middle. I was like, nah, man, I'll quit first. I told you, you know, first, if we didn't have an agreement, I wouldn't have no problem. So he let me go to church that time. But this time he's trying to do a preemptive strike. I was like, nah, man. And I said, hey, who should, and I had just read the section, and I think it asked, who should we fear, man or God? You know, we'll fear God who can destroy the, you know, I'm quoting stuff. He don't know what I'm saying. So, you know. So he's like, hey, man, you just can't come to work here. Man, I was hot. I was like, what? I'm like, go, I was doing good work. These kids, you know, I was crushed. And then I'm sitting here, and Diana, came to me. She's like, John. Like, yeah, I said, man, I'm an interview for this camp called Kids Across America. Y'all know all my stories, Kids Across America. And she said, I want you to come with me. I said, man, I don't know camp up in the boonies. She's like, nah, I want to do it, but I need somebody to go with me. Me and Diana never hung out. She hung out with Ken. We never hung out, but she came to me, found me at the university. That's a big university. Come with me. So I was like, all right. So we drive to Hyde Park, and I go get interviewed by Renee. She said, I need you to do, I don't know why I did the interview, but I didn't want to go to the camp. So she goes in, she does an interview, I go in, I do the interview, and we're talking stuff, you know, whatever. And they, of course, they hire me, right? It's like, you know, Renee Rochester, she's like, we got to get this brother in here. Diana didn't even go to the camp. And she wouldn't want to interview for the job. But the camp was with inner city kids. There was rap music everywhere. And the purpose of the camp was to get kids saved. Now, had I worked at YOU, I would have missed that. I had a lot of growth doing the ministry at that camp. But I had to allow God to prune what I thought was good for me so that I could bear more fruit. You see what I'm saying? So it's not always removing bad things, but God's only mission is for you to be productive. But you got to cooperate with that. Got to cooperate with him working in your life. Now, this is the relationship part. You see that, John 15:1. So let me prune that. Let me cut that. Let me cut what I need to cut. But my only goal is to make you more fruitful. Because in the fruitfulness, then God is glorified. But see how you cooperate with God? He allows the work of God to come through you, and it glorifies him. Now watch this. God's divine dresser. Watch this. 14:21. Go to 21. Let me read this. Watch him throw this in there. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and he and will disclose myself to him. Is to keep my command. Another place, he's going to say, hey, abide in me. If you keep my word, you abide in me. The word keep there is not just, all right, you know, put it in the pocket, keep it. The word keep there can also mean, is another word that's used in watchmen, for a watcher to keep an area, to protect it. So he's saying, the word that I bring to you, that I give to you, guard it, keep it. Don't turn loose of it. When tribulation, when trouble comes, remember the word. Don't let that, that word didn't work, or, you know, whatever the word said about me, I'm more than a conqueror, or, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Don't allow the things around you to wrestle that away from you. Because that your growth is going to come from that. He said, keep it. Don't turn loose of it. Don't get rid of it. Now watch this. He says, those that do that, is I am going to come and disclose myself to you. This is the key thing I got from Pastor Jim. This is the interaction of God with you. Now, we talk about meditating the Word of God, chewing the cud, thinking about it over and over. The benefit of that is that Jesus promised in that time, which is the quiet time, not just when you're on a bus or whatever, we come to church and then we pick up the Bible that we left, you know. But if you commit yourself to that, Jesus enters into your life space and reveals himself to you. This is the benefit of meditation, not to remember, just to memorize the word, but to have God himself reveal himself to you. Now look at the magic in this. James says, the person that reads the word, James 1:23, the person that reads the word but doesn't do it is like a person that looks in a mirror, turns away and forgets what the word is? No, forgets who he is. Is Jesus the word? So when you're studying the word and he's revealing himself to you, it's like you looking into a divine mirror with spiritual eyes. But as you're looking into that mirror intently, as the scripture says, the image of God is being reflected in you. That's where the discovery process comes. Well, this is, you know how you women, man, we go in there, I'm brushing teeth, get it together. I always tease my wife. I was like, come on, man. She's like, I got more stuff to do. I was like, you see this hair? Take me 3 days to get this done. You know, y'all in there, man, and you get it, you looking and getting it right. You know, I got a revelation. This is supposed to be looped under, bump it, as y'all call it, bump it under. So I be listening. I'm like, let me get in there with that hot comb. I'll help you. But as you're looking intently, you start to see stuff. Jesus, but because it is no longer you that lives, but it's Christ that lives in you, you are seeing yourself for the first time. And when you really see yourself, then you can become that, your potential. But you got to see it. If you don't see it, you can't become it. But that happens in the intimate times. He said, keep the word, keep the word, keep the word. Guard it, protect it. And if you're doing that, then I'm revealing myself. Now I'm seeing. And you're seeing, I'm new creation in Christ Jesus, all things about, you're seeing that, and you're becoming that. But you know what you're also seeing? The gifts and talents that he prescribed in you and the reason for them being there. That comes out in that time. You know what I'm saying? He drops it right in there. See, now, with that, I want these visual images burned in your, remember the movie? It's a John Voight piece, but it's the National Treasure. I watch too many movies. And I get to the point, he's looking for these treasures or whatever, and he goes to his dad, he can't figure out how to get to this next clue. And John Voight's like, man, put it in the oven. Dad, shut up. He says, no. The way to get that is you got to put this on the heat. And when it gets on the heat, and he's talking about an important parchment, the heat is going to make the writing on the scroll appear. When you're sitting there in the presence of God, the things that he's written inside of you begin to be revealed. And then you get that aha moment. But see, remember I said, living comes from the inside out for believers. See, that happens in here, and then that begins to come out of you. Sometimes you don't even know when you start doing that. When did I start? It just comes out because you're living from the inside out now. But you got to have that time. Drops it right in there. John 14, I need to show myself to you because in showing myself to you, I'm showing you who you are. See, now you have identity because you're discovering who you are, and then you can become that. You can become that, and that's gets you to being fulfilled. Because you gotta do what you were made to do. Pastor says it. If you ain't who you is, then you isn't who you ain't. Now, when he first told me that, I was cross-eyed. I thought I knew what he's trying to say. You gotta meditate on some of that stuff, man. Pastor was like, he's living up there. Come on. That's true. That's true. But when you become who you are, Now you're in the path to being fulfilled. Let me drop it to you. Last one, meditation and productivity work together. Just like that. Romans 12, let me show you. Last one. And then you look at it. All right, somebody moved Romans in my Bible. Romans 12, pastor already knows where I'm going. Not dealing with renew your mind, but you do need to renew your mind. But again, that's letting him prune. What? Go all the way down to 4. Watch this. But just as we have many members in one body, you want to start with that? Your local body, universal body, whole lot of members, one body, and all the members do not have what? They don't all do the same stuff. Everybody ain't supposed to be the preacher. Everybody ain't supposed to be the usher. Everybody ain't supposed to be as silly as you are. You're silly for a purpose. Don't need no more silliness than that, or that type of silliness. He said, look, he says they don't all have the same function. So we who are many, we're many, but are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We're joined together. Since we have gifts that differ, it's okay to be you. They differ. Now the guy says it's okay to be crazy. And he's talking about it. He's not saying go out and stab somebody. He's like, look, the things that come up to you that people may look at that and say, that's kind of strange. But that's okay because it's you. You were made to be unique. Watch this. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Then he says, if it's prophecy, then, you know, then go prophesy. Then I like this part, because if it's service, he's talking about gifts. If it's service, then get to servicing. Teaches, then get to teaching. If you're an exhorter, then go out and exhort. If you got a lot of stuff, then go out and give. Now, this is not an exclusive list or an all-inclusive. He's just naming stuff. But basically what he's saying is you need to be who you're supposed to be. And don't get mad because you're not Ken. Ken's supposed to be Ken. He's doing a good job being Ken. Jennifer's appreciative that that's the only Ken. Can't have more fights with more than one Ken. You know, I'd say that. I didn't want to use my wife because we go home together. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be you, and you have gifts that are beneficial to everybody, specifically here. But it's in the time that you got to recognize that, which comes from your time in God, and then step out into that. Remember the first part I said, hey, put your hat in the ring. But it got to be what you're gifted at. You may be gifted at decorating. Here's the thing. When you get in your gift, your God-given gifts, that's when you get the God genius. That's when you get creative. You can just backstroke in that. Let me show you how to do this. Put this paper mache in. You just, And people come in and are like, man, how did you think of that? They can't see that. They're not gifted with that kind of genius. But when you do that, people look at that and they see God because they see excellence. They see the excellence at that moment. And in that moment, you shine. He said, you're called to be a light. How are you a light? Shine in what you do. Now, in your moment of shining, you may get a Stephen moment where you get to come out and preach because of the gifts that God gave you. You want to honor. This is what God, you know. And, you know, people be okay with that. People look for excellence. All these people doing, you know, the network marketing, them people are in there because those people are successful. And I found out something. If you're successful, people want to know how you are successful. They don't care that you're preaching Jesus. They just want to be successful. You got a successful marriage, they don't care that you're preaching Jesus. I need to know how to make peace with my wife. Man, you got stuff. You got to recognize it. And you got to be you. And don't let the devil try to hide, or your mama, or your daddy, or the father-in-law, your value to everybody around you, because we're waiting. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on you to be you. The church is waiting on me to be me so that we can move forward together. You are special. Your fulfillment is going to be recognized when you recognize that. You get in time, tune with God so that he can show you who you are. And then as you see that, give yourself to it. Give yourself to it. If you're a basketball player, give yourself to that, because you're going to be creative in helping us use that to minister. If you're a singer, then give yourself to singing. And then you'll probably see a way that we can use that here. If you're a technical person, give yourself to that. And then you'll say, you know what, I can see how to, you know, it just works like that. But then you get fulfilled because you're doing what God intended for you to do all along. And you go, man, this was easy. Then it's harder for you to fall for other stuff because it's not fulfilling. Not as fulfilling as being who you are. All right? So let's make the commitment. Spend time with God. Learn who we are. Give ourselves to that gift. And then go out and be amazing in our gift. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right.